On the show today, we have Women's World Banking Director of Research and Advocacy, Sonia Kelly, talking about the organization's study that they found gender bias in AI algorithms of all things. So Sonia tells us all about it, so check it out. And before we get on with the interview, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Podcast, welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Sonia Kelly from the Women's World Banking. You are the Director of Research and Advocacy there. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here, Michael. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Happy to have you on. And this bit of information came across my desk, so to speak, or my email inbox. And it's all about a study that you guys did that found gender bias in artificial intelligence algorithms. And I was blown away by this. And so it's you know, where AI is used to determine creditworthiness. And is it sexist? I mean, can you give us a quick foundation of this study? Because I'm finding this incredibly fascinating that AI could do something like this. Come on.
Well, I'm flattered by your interest. Thanks for having us here today. We started focusing on this topic of AI and machine learning because we were interested in shaping what the future of banking will look like, especially for women customers.
Right.
And we know that women are less likely to use the internet than men are. And around the world, women are less likely to own a smartphone. And digital finance presents a great opportunity, but also a risk. It's an opportunity to leverage technology for inclusion, but we also risk repeating the same mistakes that we've made in the past.
Right.
So the biggest risk of AI that we found was that it would simply amplify existing biases that we see in the financial system. When it comes to lower income populations, women are likelier to receive higher interest rates, lower credit limits where humans are involved, and they're more penalized for their mistakes. And we know that these biases emerge in a number of places along the credit rating process. So first, humans come to the coding process with existing biases, and these biases, if they are unchecked, just get baked into the code.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some people don't notice because we don't like thinking about reading code. And so a CEO might say, oh, my data scientist does that. I'm not able to look at it. But second, the data itself can be biased. For example, we know that in the US, women have more unpaid care responsibilities in the home. And so if there is a company that's using cell phone based data and GPS is telling them a lot about whether an applicant spends a lot of time at their business location, that would be biased data, even if it's not a binary male woman.
Okay.
And then third, the development of an algorithm itself can have bias as it iterates. And so the goal of an algorithm is to get more efficient over time.
Right,
that's a job.
Right.
But as it gets more efficient, if there is bias baked in from the beginning, mm-hmm. it actually gets more biased over time.
Oh my gosh. So it's kind of a snowball effect, it sounds like. And that's super unfortunate. Oh my gosh. I had no idea that this type of stuff, call me ignorant, but I'm very ignorant in this area that, you know, machine learning, because machine learning and AI as well is all based on the data. I mean, if you have crummy data, you're going to have a crummy AI. So the better your data, the better the AI or the machine learning, but it also learns over time, right? So could it learn differently, or could it kind of correct itself? I mean, I don't know if you can answer that question, but
that's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. We did this work because we were optimistic about the future,
yeah,
and we still
yeah.
are optimistic about the future as long as these biases are caught early. I think there's a temptation when we hear about these things and we know how much technology is watching us to get really freaked out and think, oh no, we're moving into a future that looks like a dystopian sci-fi novel. Yeah. But that doesn't have to be the case. There are a lot of ways of mitigating bias at each of those different points, at the data point, at the development of the algorithm, at the stage where the algorithm is making decisions and becoming more efficient. There are ways to make sure that there's fairness all along the way, and not just things that data scientists can do. This is things that CEOs can do. This is things that boards can have a window into and have a perspective on. This is things that managers that don't know how to code can ask about. And so I think there's some really easy fixes that we pose in this research that can actually mitigate some of the biases and create a better future based on technology.
Oh, no doubt. I want to take a big step back. So what prompted this study? Were you guys finding things constant? Were things coming up like, hey, that doesn't seem right, or that's not correct? I mean, so was it that type of scenarios? Like, hey, maybe we should look into this. Maybe we should do a study on this and find out the real story.
It was actually looking at other industries and seeing how AI and machine learning were biased in other industries. So you may have heard about Amazon's recruitment algorithm, for example. It sat alongside of an HR representative, a number of HR representatives, not just one, mm-hmm. and learned from the decisions they were making about resumes, about which resumes aren't ones that we usually push forward. And very soon, within about a month, the recruitment algorithm ended up systematically screening out women candidates. And the humans were not systematically screening out women candidates, but they were doing it so often that the algorithm just made that more efficient. That's an example of a bias that emerges from the imitation of what humans are doing. Mm-hmm. We also know that from AI home-based systems, and I'm not gonna say the name of mine so it doesn't turn on, but we know that they're much less likely to recognize words that people of color say, and not even people of color who have accents from another language, mm-hmm. like people of color who were born and grew up in the US and speak English as their first language. Home-based AI is less likely to recognize their voices. We also know that visual AI is racist. It's less likely to recognize people of color. And so we thought, if this is what's happening in other industries, and fortunately, other industries have been very upfront about what they've learned as they develop these technologies. Mm-hmm. We thought, we know these technologies are being deployed in the financial sector, and there has to be something there to look at. Yeah. We have some windows into this. You may remember the Apple credit card situation issued by Goldman Sachs. And there were two very high profile people. One was actually Steve Wozniak, who applied for the credit card, two high profile males who applied for the credit card at the same time as their wives did, with all of the same information. In both cases, they shared their finances. And in both cases, the man got a credit limit that was 20 times higher than what the woman got.
Oh my God.
And yeah, right. And Goldman Sachs said, oh no, we're not biased. We can't be, because we're not feeding the algorithm data on whether the applicants are man and woman. It's illegal to do that. There's no way we can be biased. So there must be some other explanation. Well, of course, the explanation is that these credit cards were based in part on a debt to income ratio. And in both cases, the wives didn't work. And that's an example of a bias that emerges in the data that might not be one that we want to still be making decisions on, especially if people are sharing household finances. So, so we saw it. We saw evidence of it. Obviously, the financial sector has been less keen to share mistakes than other industries have, but that's how we got engaged in this space in the first place.
So having said that, what can a financial institution do? In this case, credit unions, is there anything that they can do? Can we march on down to the IT department and go, hey, you know what? Maybe we should double check the algorithm here and make sure we're being fair and in many cases, this could be totally innocent, you know, and like, oh my gosh, we had no idea this was going on. This is horrible. So let's fix it type of thing. So is that kind of a fix for a financial institution, I guess?
Yeah. Well, I would say, first of all, don't freak out. don't freak out about this. I think second of all, AI and machine learning is fantastic, and we should be using it in the future. So don't steer away from those technologies because you're worried about bias. Humans are also very biased in their credit decisions. And I think that's the power of AI and machine learning in the future, is if we do it right, it can reduce bias. So that's the first thing, is like, take a deep breath and don't freak out about this. And then the second is, you can create a committee of people who's focused on addressing this, kind of like a cross-functional committee that has data scientists and line managers and loan officers and executives who say like, okay, these are our goals for fairness, and this is our monitoring structure, and then hand that over to the data scientists and say, this is the report I want every month. I want to know how many women are being given credit versus men. I want to know what their credit limit is. I want to know what they're applying for and what the difference is between what they're applying for and what they're actually getting. I want to know their repayment rate. In Spain, I talked to a regulator who said that they use repayment rate as a proxy for whether an institution is being risky enough with women borrowers. So if, you know, if women are repaying at a much higher rate, it's not necessarily an indication that they are just better at repaying. It might be an indication that we're not being risky or giving them high enough loans. And so I think there are some really practical steps. And frankly, Michael, this is something that's like a right now issue. It's like, it's essential that institutions start thinking about these things now, because this will be a very regulated space in the future. The Fed, CFPB, FDIC, National Credit Union Administration, as you probably know, just recently put out a call for information on financial institutions' use of AI in the US. And so they're obviously collecting data on the risks. And as soon as they can, I'm assuming they'll issue some guidance on how to use it responsibly. So it's essential that institutions start thinking about, how am I going to address this so that I'm not surprised by regulation that comes down.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh my gosh. Tell me about the interactive tool that you guys have as well. This is pretty fascinating too. So how does this work and how does it help out?
Yeah. So my own data scientist, as part of the research, said, you know, what I'd really like is for institutions to be able to test their own biases. And so he put out an interactive tool on the internet, which you can find on our website, womensrolebanking.org, where people can actually put in some descriptives about their applicants, the gender mix, or if you didn't want to put in gender mix, you could put in some other binary with a minority group and a majority group, and then it models your data and lets you play with it in a way that shows how fair you are. So you put in like what your applicant pool is, and then who you end up giving credit, and what the average credit limits are. And then you can play with that and see how biased you are and how far you might have to go. So it's a pretty cool thing to play with if you are an executive at an institution that just like wants a benchmark.
Okay, I'm gonna go check it out right after interview. But also, hey, tell me about the significance of all this information, because there's a pretty staggering number here that that you know all too, that was kind of in the headline of the press release when I saw it. So you want to reveal that and tell us the significance of all of this?
Yeah, so globally, there's a $17 billion gender credit gap. That's really significant. There are a lot of things behind it, but we think that bias is a big predictor of whether there will be a gender gap in the allocation of credit. And as algorithms take over human decisions, it will not be a surprise to us if they continue to contribute to this enormous global gap. So that is something that is a bit of a puzzle for global standard setting bodies and international organizations as they look at the development of the financial system. The gender gap doesn't seem to be closing. So as we get more sophisticated, it doesn't seem to be closing.
And yeah, because I'm thinking, God, it could get worse because,
again,
that whole snowball effect of the algorithm, just from what it learned, it's just going to keep going and it's going to get worse until somebody goes, hey, you know what? Let's pull the plug on that and start all over. let's put a reset on that. So, oh my gosh. So where can folks go and find out more details on the study? Because we've only scratched the surface here. So this is some pretty revealing stuff here.
Yeah, check it out on our website, womensworldbanking.org, and okay. You can check out the paper there. And we're going to be talking about it for the foreseeable future. We have a project starting now using some of the insights we developed in this research. We're working with two financial institutions, one in Mexico and one in India, to actually work with them to create gender-aware components that sit on their credit scoring algorithms. So mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll be hearing from us some of the results from that work, and we're excited to dip our toes into the water, actually doing the heavy lifting on this issue.
Right on. Yeah. Send me the info. Yeah, we'll get you back on and address it as well. So, oh my gosh, Sonia, when I first saw it, I was just so fascinated on like how something like this could happen with a machine of all things, you know? So, and now you've explained it, and now I get it. So, but I think that this is going to be a nice education for a lot of financial institutions out there who want to go, let's go check this out and make sure this is not happening at our shop. So, wow, good stuff here, Sonia. This is fantastic. So look forward to posting this one. Anything else to add to wrap up?
Yeah, I guess if I were to send out a tweet, it would be, this is not machines run amok. There are ways to create a responsible algorithm that allows for fairness. And that's really what we're advocating for here.
Okay, good tweet. All right, we'll see if we can mimic that one for you as well. So, all right, Sonia, thank you again for your time. Appreciate it. Keep up the good work there, okay?
Thanks so much, Michael. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.